minute. Do you have a question for him?
Yes.
Yeah, hold on just a second.
Your name?
L.B. Higginbotham.
Well, I went to school with some Higginbothams. Do you have any relatives in Oklahoma?
I did.
Okay.
They passed on. I'm a songwriter, and this is kind of a left-brain, right-brain question, but have you had very much response from the artistic community to help you in your lobbying efforts for full disclosure?
Not yet, but there are developments. For many, many years, I believe it could be possible to hold what would be called a Truth Aid conference. This would be a conference that musicians who support the reality of the ET presence would come forward, donate their services to hold major conferences to raise money and bring the issue to the Generation X and Generation Double X. We know a number of musicians, for instance, who are contactees and abductees. We know that had major sightings, and they believe this issue is true. Blink 182 is just one of many. And Moody Blues, we think there are two abductees in that group. Mike Luckman wrote a book called Alien Rock. He's starting to try to raise the money to hold such a conference. Someday it's going to happen. As far as the Hollywood, Dan Aykroyd has stepped forward and given his name to MUFON and gave an interview to David Sirita. He's now, I would consider, the leading Hollywood celebrity on this issue. We hope he will do more. We hope he will bring friends together, hopefully try to raise some money, because money is still the major barrier to pursuing this truth effectively and quickly. Shirley MacLaine has been supportive of me. I think I'm going to be in her new upcoming book. I gave interviews on her radio program, her internet radio program. I've met with her a few times. Shirley has certainly been someone who is not afraid to talk about those things which others feel can't be talked about. So there are people, there's plenty of people, more than enough people in Hollywood, if they came together in a more formal way, could shake the foundations of this truth embargo and probably end it inside of 12 months. There are also high-tech people out there who have enormous amounts of money and savvy, like Paul Allen, who regrettably gave many millions to the SETI program, which is an utter waste of time and money, except for creating some nice radio telescopes. It was a propaganda science operation created by the government literally to deflect attention from the ET issue away from the government, a disgrace in the history of science that will eventually come out. But Paul Allen needs to maybe think about putting some money in the political resolution of this issue. Mark Cuban is an incredibly interesting guy, a maverick. So is Mr. Branson of Virgin Airlines. Any one of these people could come in tomorrow with a few millions of dollars necessary to drive certain projects in Washington that I don't think the truth embargo that is hanging by a thread could withstand. So private money could move in at any time. Hollywood could take more aggressive positions, and other foreign governments are continuing to act. So we're not turning down any requests. I would love to be able to meet with a Steven Spielberg or a Lucas or a Chris Carter or a Paul Allen and just sit down and say, look, here's what's really going on. Would you like to maybe make some real history here? Would you like to do something so profound that long after your movies and your tech companies have been forgotten, your name will be synonymous with the emergence of the most profound event in human history, when the human race formally says to itself, there are extraterrestrials, they're here, they want to deal with us, now it's time to move on. This legacy now sits fully available to anyone ready to take it. But so far, no one has been willing to risk a little embarrassment or a couple of jokes on Jay Leno, maybe offend a few government officials by saying, enough is enough. Liz Taylor did that back in the early 80s when she said, The government's position on the AIDS epidemic is absurd. There are lies and disinformation being put forward about this disease, and I don't care what anybody says. I'm forming AMFAR. I'm putting millions of dollars into this. And she launched what became a cascade of money pouring in from others who said, if Liz is on board, we're on board. And she literally changed the course of AIDS research, saved hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, because the government was saying, it's not a big deal. It's just some dying gays. What do we care? We need a Liz Taylor for this issue. Someone that says, I don't give a damn what the government says, and I don't care what the press says, and I don't care what jokes are made about it. I know it's right. Here's the money. Get the job done. It could happen tomorrow. We're taking all calls.
Is there any way that we can blockade the human interest in America for big oil to bring this situation into light?
No,
there.
No, because there are so many very clear ways that the government can be pressured to relent. Trying to ask the American people to completely alter their lifestyles and sacrifice in that way is too much when other institutions like the press are not doing their job. But let me be clear. If the ET embargo ends, in short order, the ET technology we have reverse engineered and developed ourselves will emerge. And in due course, that technology, while it won't instantly convert us to non-fossil fuel technology, will drop the price of oil like a stone. And so for that, during the transition, you won't be paying $4 gas. You might be paying 40-cent gas. And that will happen pretty quickly. And then the anti-gravity technology would allow us to basically ship our nuclear waste into the sun, where it becomes absolutely non-issue, transport food, goods, and services around the world to alleviate pain and suffering and stop the political unrest, build solidization plants to bring water and arable land to the starving children, and really, I would just say, get some great press. But instead of that, the technology sits in underground facilities where they carefully investigate its potential to build unbelievably destructive weapons to send us, to save us from what? Aliens that could probably take us out in 10 minutes, or to become the uber power of the planet. This is old paradigm, ancient, male-dominated arrogance, which is essentially all that's going on in the secret empire. There is no vision. There are no women. There is no higher sense of calling. This is old stuff. This is Jack the Ripper from Dr. Strangelove deciding what to do about ET technology.
Thank you.
That has to stop.
Thank you. Okay.
Don't you think that the biggest problem that is blocking the truth from all of us on just about every single issue with government is the fact that oil has become our main currency?
By the way, it was General Jack Ripper, not Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
Oil has become our main currency because it and I believe the oil is far more abundant than people think, and the peak oil myth is simply one other way to raise the price of oil. Every time
I do
we
too.
Do anything, it raises the price of oil. So we've made unbelievably wealthy energy companies and energy executives who retire with $400 million bonuses while thousands of kids die of starvation every day. If it wasn't oil, it would be something else. Look, oil has helped to drive the modern economy and the modern state. It served a certain purpose. It's now become a liability. And normally, if everything was on the up and up, we would start transitioning out. We would have developed alternative sources much sooner. But I believe since the governments of the first world knew the alien tech was eventually going to come into play down the line, but we didn't know that, but they knew it, they figured, hey, it'll all work itself out. In the meantime, let's make ourselves hundreds of millions and billions of dollars. Right? Maybe pollute the air, but that'll get corrected down the line, but we're not going to tell you that, so we have to lie to you about a lot of things, so you'll buy into the oil myth and pay that kind of money and pollute the air and like it, right? So it's not so much that oil is intrinsically evil, but it is part of an intrinsically corrupt, disingenuous, secret approach to governments and economic policy, which has dropped the trust ratings of government in the United States to all-time historic lows. The people are not stupid. They may not know the details, but they know enough to know that their approval rating of the United States Congress is now 14%. Their approval rating of lawyers is 12%. Their approval rating of the president, 28%. They may not know exactly why this oil thing is screwed up. They may not know what some of these major lies are, but they can smell BS when they see it. And so consequently, we now have a government that's operating without public consent, without public mandate, right? Less than, the last two presidential elections, the first time the president was elected with 12% of the vote, 13%, and then the second time he was elected with about 27% of the vote. There's no mandate for governance in this country. It's all kind of a charade. It's a game in which people either don't vote, don't care. The government simply lies. Other people accept the lies. And we wonder why when every day we watch the news, we hear one more story about this is going to hell, that's going to hell, this is about to collapse, these people are died, this got blown up, nukes could be loose, Washington could be destroyed. How did that happen? It didn't happen overnight, but it was deserved and earned. The public failed to exercise this responsibility, and people took advantage of that and have now put us in this perilous position.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Stephen, we've talked about everything but Roswell. Let's get into it.
Roswell's cool. Roswell is many things. It is and will be the mecca for the ET human, how would you say, interaction that's coming. It is the most visible, visceral and tactile connection for the average person in the world, whether you're a cashier working at a Denny's in West Virginia or a farmer in Bangladesh. There is no geographic location in the world, not Kecksburg, Shag Harbor, Tunguska, Area 51, nothing has the cachet of Roswell. And so when the ET presence is finally acknowledged, Roswell needs to understand that in the year following, millions of people are coming here. They're not going to call ahead. They're not going to say they're coming. They're just going to come, right? And they're going to park their RVs on the roads leading into Roswell as far as you can see. They will pitch tents in the desert. They'll be on they'll be on your courthouse lawn. They're coming here to get they'll be coming here to get a connection to this ET reality, which has just been confirmed to them. They're going to want to touch and see something. Roswell needs to prepare for this. They need to build that museum. They need to build that new hotel, the Space Hotel Roswell. They need to build a theme park. They need to put some icons out there. They need to put a mock crash saucer on the plains of Augusta and put a mock debris field out there at the ranch. They need to make a memorial out of Hangar 18. They need to create the visceral connections, because I guarantee you the people are coming. This town will no longer be a small, sleepy town. There's nothing that can be done about that. So Roswell isn't one time a mecca. It's also a place where people can come and have fun and clearly show they're not afraid of the big, bad aliens. They're doing what Americans do. They have fun. They buy souvenirs. They enjoy themselves, and they adapt and get comfortable with something they know is pretty important and pretty real. What is wrong with that, right? And it happens here more than any other place in the country. So Roswell is a symbol. It's a mecca. It's a transition area. It is what it is because those crashes occurred. And let me point out a fairly obvious but maybe not often considered point. If the crashes of that night 60 years ago had been 20 to 25 miles closer to the city, there would be no truth embargo today. Too many witnesses, too many people on site, too many cameras. They could not have made the reversal they made and try to institute the informal beginning of the embargo by saying it was, in fact, a balloon. That would have been it. And so the entire period from July of 47 to today would have been in the close disclosure world, and many historians will debate and say, gee, if there had been a disclosure in 1947, would we have had the Cold War? Would we have had the proxy wars? Would tens of millions had to have died? Would the Soviet Union maybe have ended 20 or 30 years sooner? Or would it have upset the delicate balances of global diplomacy and triggered a nuclear war in the 50s? It'll be a fun debate. Doesn't matter. But whatever, Roswell has this position on this issue. It may have been fate, but whatever, it can never get away from it, and it needs to not in any way step back. It's going to have to continue to expand the quality of the connection between the city and the subject matter. There's more than enough events. There's more than enough stuff here. My Lord, it's enough to keep anybody busy. And there were more speakers in this town in the last 4 days than had ever come together in a single city in history on this issue. I think something in the range of 70. Nothing like this has happened. But what they need to now is elevate the quality of the experience and connect it more to the fundamental issue. There are ETs here. They look like this, just buy the souvenirs. That's what they look like, and a few other types. Connect to it. feel it, experience, take that home with you, talk to your friends and family, because the ET presence is here and it will be acknowledged by the government soon. Roswell will get a lot of good credits for sort of making it fun, making it interesting, being there for America, right? And so you simply can't underestimate the implications of this. This sleepy little town, now easily the most famous small city in the world. If anybody knows of a more famous small city, tell me which it is. And the UFO acronym is the single best-known acronym in the world. More people know what UFO means than what the FBI stands for, the CIA stands for, and even likely what USA stands for. This is not trivial. This is, you know, look, if I had money, I'd be buying Roswell real estate. Open property, commercial property. In 10 years, it could be worth 50 times what it's worth now.
Let's give Steve Ambassador a big hand, and thanks for being here.
Yep.
My
website is paradigmresearchgroup.org, paradigmresearchgroup.org. It is huge. It has thousands, 5,000, 10,000 links to other material. It has a huge quotes directory, a vast media section, a substantial bibliography. It is a very fast way to get a tactile sense of the validity of all this without having to study 4,000 sightings reports. And we hope a lot of people will come to paradigmresearchgroup.org and make that their portal and go and then visit the websites of my colleagues, find their books, find their videos, and start becoming part of this, because this is going to be a lot of fun.
And, of course, you can get all the information of the X Conference. You have a link there on that website, but tell them the conference website again.
Well, the conference website, of course, is x-conference.com. It's already under full development. 15, 16 speakers are already up there with bios. Programs will go up soon. Registration can be done right there on the net, PayPal, credit card. You can also phone in a payment. You can also mail in a payment. It's $169 for the full 3 days. 20 speakers and panelists. There's also single day passes. We will have a banquet, which is the highlight of the event. I have invites to some extraordinary keynote speakers. There will be a cocktail party. It's a great I've had people come up and tell me with tears in their eyes that this conference changed their life. What do you say to that? I mean, thank you, and you want to do better the next time.
Well, the music's running, so we got to get out of here. Thanks to Roberta Scott for being our location producer, Jane Swartley, our editor. And from Roswell, this has been Jerry Pippin. Until next time, cheers.